The story is that in December 1980, effectively on Christmas night, a patrol of United States Air Force security officers at the twin bases of Bentwaters and Woodbridge in Suffolk saw lights in the forest, and they thought that an aircraft from these bases, these were American Air Force bases in Britain.
Mm-hmm.
They thought that maybe one of the aircraft had crashed. So they went out to investigate and to initiate a search and rescue operation. They didn't find a crashed aircraft. They found a landed UFO, a small triangular-shaped craft, which was maneuvering through the trees. And at one point, this thing actually touched down in a clearing. And this is hugely important because this is where some of the best evidence came. And effectively, one of them, Jim Peniston, there were three people in the patrol, Jim Peniston got close enough to touch the side of this craft. So, you know, this is for all the people who say, well, it was a meteor or just the lights of the lighthouse. No, this was something that you could reach up and touch the side of. And there are sketches in the official witness statement, the United States Air Force documentation, showing the craft and showing some symbols on the side of it, which I can only liken to Egyptian hieroglyphs.
Very much like the symbols. And, of course, I actually have heard this story before, Nick, but
sure.
I'm kind of comparing notes here on what I heard and what I'm hearing now, and it's very much the same. But hieroglyphic type things?
Yes. Again, they're widely available on the Internet. I just posted them on my own site.
How similar in nature to the hieroglyphics described from Roswell?
I'd have to do a comparative analysis. I'm just trying to recall, and I haven't got the Roswell material in front of me. But,
actually, there isn't Roswell material. I interviewed Jesse Marcel, Jr.
Yeah, I'm just trying to think of that I-beam.
I-beam, yes.
Yeah.
And he described the hieroglyphics. He described them actually as hieroglyphic-like. And,
yes. I've seen the representation of that, but I'm afraid I can't recall the details well enough to say how much it has in common.
How specifically are what's on the side of the craft there in Great Britain, the one you're talking about, how specifically accurate are the representations we have of what was written on that craft?
I believe they're accurate because Jim Peniston had his police notebook with him at the time.
I see.
And he was actually able to sketch the thing contemporaneously. When he then got back to the base, he took his notebook, and, of course, his hand had been shaking, I think.
Uh-huh.
The drawings in his notebook are a little bit wobbly, but he immediately wrote up a better version. And so I think, given that this was sketched at the time by a security policeman, I think there is a fairly high degree of certainty that he got it pretty close.
I could not agree more, and I sure would like to see a copy of that shown to Jesse Marcel.
Yes, that would be interesting.
Oh, wouldn't it ever? I wonder if it is the same. I wonder if he'd say, yeah, that's it.
Well, as I say, I've posted it on my website in the photographic section.
So he can have a look.
So he could just go in. It's nickpope.net. It's as simple as that. And the Rendlesham sketches are there.
Okay. All right. So this thing actually came down, and then its relative size was small. How big?
Pretty small. Nothing like the craft that we were talking about in the previous hour. This thing was probably no more than maybe 4 or 5 feet across and maybe 9 or 10 feet tall. Kind of almost like, a lunar landing module, something like that.
Or perhaps a robotic craft of some sort.
Yeah, very possibly. And as I say, this thing actually touched down and the indentations where this thing had landed were still there the following morning when they reinvestigated the landing site.
Uh-huh.
and they plotted it out, and it formed the shape of an equilateral triangle, suggesting that the thing had been on some sort of tripod-like landing legs.
The quality of the witnesses, there were three total witnesses to it, is that correct? Actually three. Seeing it on the ground?
Yes, Jim Peniston, John Burroughs, and Ed Kavanasag.
Now, were these military men?
They were, yes. All United States Air Force from, I think, the 81st Security Police Squadron.
My God.
So these were the sort of security law enforcement cops, basically.
Yes. This something of this magnitude obviously can't be just brushed away. Did they actually do radiation readings?
They did, yes. They took a Geiger counter out to the landing site,
uh-huh.
And they got higher than average readings, and the readings peaked, it won't surprise you to learn, in the three holes where this thing had come down.
Uh-huh.
Now, these readings were then sent to the Ministry of Defense, and again, the Defense Intelligence staff looked at them, and their assessment, and again, this is now a matter of public knowledge. This is in no way me telling a story that can't be backed up by the officially released papers. They're all out there. The Defense Intelligence staff said that the readings taken were, quote, significantly higher than background, unquote, and it goes on to talk about the figures, and it's higher by a factor of about 7. Now, this wasn't high enough to pose a danger to any of the people there.
Got
but
it.
It's evidentially significant, of
well,
course.
Well, sure, of course it is. Since you know the details of the story, one obvious question is, when you see something of this magnitude, you see a craft on the ground, my God, don't you immediately call in the cavalry?
These people almost, like a lot of witnesses that I've spoken to, and I've spoken to hundreds of UFO witnesses, not just members of the public, but police and military. And there's nothing, although the military are generally, of course, pretty good witnesses, they're human beings, and I think they react in exactly the same way. They were kind of in a state of almost shock.
I'm sure that's true.
And I won't say they froze, but they were certainly just mesmerized by this.
Is there any indication at all, Nick, that they were actually perhaps directly affected in some manner? Anything like that?
There are some hints and clues, and certainly I've subsequently seen some interviews with Jim Peniston, and it's quite clear it's affected him quite deeply.